To order the Senate Committee on Redistricting for May 17th, 2011.
I'm doing the same thing for the House Redistricting Committee for the same date.
Welcome, everyone. We're planning to be here until 7 or until we run out of people who are wanting to give testimony. So thank you, everyone, for coming. I wanted to make just a few preliminary remarks. As you know, different maps have been proposed about redistricting in Oregon, and I want to emphasize that these are proposals. We're having a hearing this evening and two more hearings to get input on the proposals and on what needs to be done in redistricting. The testimony that we'd like to receive does not need to be limited to these proposals. If you have better ideas, we welcome them. We're going to ask you to be respectful and polite and not accusatory toward any political party or any member. It would be very helpful to the committee if you could be specific with your comments and not just say, I like that plan or I don't like that plan. That won't be particularly helpful. If you could be specific about the reasons why you either like or don't like or have other ideas, that would be very helpful. We have, as you may know, several requirements in Oregon law that is on your handout that we provided when you were coming in. It has the statute that governs redistricting. In particular, I would like to review one of the requirements, and that's the provision about communities of interest. That's the one that we seem to be hearing a lot about and having a lot of discussions about. As you can see in the handout, the requirement is that each district, as nearly as practicable, shall not divide communities of common interest. Now, there are some other requirements as well, but that's the one that I wanted to just briefly mention. Now, that requirement does not mean that a district has to be one community of interest, or that a district can contain only one community of interest and not have different communities of interest within it. Oh, just to make that clarification, and then you can look at the other requirements that are pretty clear there on the handout. Now, I am going to limit testimony to 3 minutes just because we want to make sure we have everyone here, have time to testify, and some time for questions. I am going to ask the members to limit their questions if it looks like we're not going to be able to get through the testimony. It looks now like we'll be able to do that, but if we could limit questions to those that are necessary for clarification, we'll make sure that everyone who's here to testify has an opportunity. If you have written testimony, please hand it in over here to Chana, or is it Jenny, over there on the side, and then we'll get that to the committee and it will be part of the official record. And if you do have written testimony, we'd prefer it if you don't read it to us. We'll have that in front of us. It's better if you just tell us your story or tell us what's on your mind rather than reading. We will be reading all the testimony. And we do have also some testimony that's been submitted since our last hearing. I will enter that, make sure that that's on the record at the end. Right now we want to make sure that we have people here who are here to testify. So we have 3 seats, but I think I'm going to call up 2 at a time, and we have time to do that. We have, we have Representative Huffman here, and Representative Boone, and I'll call them first. They might have other work they need to get back to, and then we'll go on from there. Welcome to the committee, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Co-Chairs and committee members. For the record, John Huffman, State Rep for District 59, which currently is Wasco, Sherman, Gillum, Wheeler, Grant, Jefferson, parts of Northern Deschutes, and then little bits of Clackamas and Marion counties. The humorous part of Clackamas and Marion counties is that I've always been told by my predecessor and Senator Farioli and others that those portions of Clackamas and Marion counties are uninhabited. So that's my first request, that as we look at stuff, you know, the county lines would be fine, and don't give me portions of any counties that don't have people in it. But anyway, every session you come into the building and you see a committee that's set up. typically a new committee, and you find out that you're not assigned to it, and you go, thank God. So this is one of those committees. I'm grateful that I am not you, and I appreciate the work you're doing. And I know it's a difficult task, and looking at the maps and working with the computer program to try to manipulate, it's difficult because you push here and something pops out over there, and you push over here and it pops out over there. And when you're flanked on the east side, like I am, by Representative Smith and Bentz, and they need to grow by 6,000 and 8,000 people, it's tough. And you finally resign yourself to the fact that you're going to probably lose your entire east bank of your district that you love dearly, but what do you do? So I understand that. But I would like to try to maybe encourage the committee on communities of common interest to maybe just think about expanding that a little bit. You know, a lot of us, a community is a small town, you know, maybe 1,500 people or so. But when you get out into the rural district that I represent, oftentimes a county is 1,400 people or 1,500 people. And so you can have regions that actually have a lot of common interests in a tri-county area. Every quarter I participate in a tri-county court meeting with Sherman, Gillum, and Wheeler County as they come together and talk about the common problems that they're facing. The common interests that I face, and with option map 1 and option map 2, option map 1 kind of separates me from Wasco County, where I live. It keeps the Dalles in District 59, but almost all the rest of Wasco County is segregated. And then in option 2, we have a couple of little communities in Sherman County that they split Sherman County, 1,400 people, and Wasco and Biggs Junction and Rufus are separated from the rest of the county. And when you look at that region, can I have 30 more seconds? When you look at that region, we have Representative Boone yielded her time with that. The Dalles is right in the middle of what we have always referred to as the Mid-Columbia. And historically, the Mid-Columbia is, on the Oregon side, is comprised of Hood River, Wasco, Sherman, Gillum, and often Wheeler counties. And the commonalities there, the Dalles has always been the historic hub of trade for the Mid-Columbia. And you have Mid-Columbia Council of Governments that serves all of those counties. You have Mid-Columbia Economic Development District, which serves all of those counties except for Wheeler County. You have Area Aging, which serves all of those counties. Mid-Columbia Health Department, Mid-Columbia Medical Center, Columbia Gorge Community College, North Oregon Correctional Regional Facility. All of those entities serve those multiple counties. And so that common interest, just asking that you look at those regional interests that are served oftentimes even by state agencies. The circuit court serves all of those counties, for example. DHS serves all those counties out of the Hood River and the Dalles offices. So I will stand down, but thank you for your time and attention and listening to my plea.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Boone?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to the committee for doing this here in the building. It made it a little convenient for us. I would second a lot of Representative Huffman's comments about keeping counties whole. And what I've done is, here's my existing, I didn't hand you out one of these because I know you have it. This is my existing district. What I've done is done one of those whack-a-mole things where you whack it here and it pops up there. But what you have is what I came up with after much consultation, and I think I can speak for my senator, for at least my part of this district. I can't speak for my other representative, but I think he's okay with this too. But basically this keeps the coast at the coast, and that it would give us three the complete corner at which we have now, and it takes Washington County out of the mix of our triumvirate, if you will, on the corner. And as was, I believe you heard quite a bit of testimony to do that, Washington County people would like to stay in Washington County and inland districts because of their communities of interest. And then I've also brought you a letter from one of my constituents who is a real mover and shaker and my first opponent in my first race, Doug Olson from Pacific City, and he makes quite a good case for keeping Tillamook County whole instead of both plans, options 1 and 2, split Tillamook County right about in the middle. And of all my counties, that's one of the most cohesive counties for a lot of the same reasons that Representative Huffman said. A lot of regional, I think there's only one incorporated area, but there's lots of in the unincorporated area of all South County, of which there are no incorporated cities. There are towns, but they're not there. And some of you might even know about them, Pacific City, Neskowin. They work with the county commission wholly as their local government, and that's a huge deal for them. It's very active. We have the Creamery, which is a countywide entity. Our community college is putting a new satellite center down in the south part of the county, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Tillamook and Clatsop and Columbia all really like being their own county. They have, they get along well with each other, but they like to stand alone in their, you know, in their whole, within their whole borders. And I have not heard from anyone of them that who wants to be divided. So that being said, that's I think you have, this is what in a perfect world, and if I were queen for a day, I would like to have my district look like. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. And if you could get us a copy of that, that would be helpful.
Which?
The map.
The one that you're showing us.
You should have this.
Okay, was that?
I handed it.
Okay.
And you should have this letter.
We do have the letter. We don't have the map.
So.
And of course you realize that when you draw just one corner, it affects the rest of the state, which is of course the challenge. I just wanted to make a comment to Representative Huffman about the parts of the county without any people. We heard from the county clerks that they really would very much appreciate not having parts of counties in a district when there's no people, because then they have to prepare ballots and there's no and everything, and there's no people there. So. Appreciate that. Questions for the two representatives? Anybody? Any questions? Representative Lindsay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Huffman, just to be sure that I understand this correctly, I see Wasco is, would Condon and Fossil be in that community as well that you're talking about?
There, Mr. Chair. Condon is part of Gillam County. It's the county seat. Fossil is the county seat for Wheeler County. So they're a part of that consortia that works together. Realizing, however, that Representative Smith and Representative Bentz are going to have to take part of that to get the 6,000 and 8,000 numbers that they need. But it'd be as nice as could be with each of those counties only having about 1,500 people each, if the counties could be held whole. And I know we've got the, whatever you call it, the percentage of people. You need to keep every district pretty close to the same size, and I understand that. But if a couple of hundred people didn't matter, you know, like in the Wasco and Rufus situation for Sherman County, I would gladly take on a couple of hundred extra people to keep that whole, because it's, you know, it's one school district for Sherman County and that kind of stuff.
A couple follow-ups. If we had to divide those counties somehow for numbers, is there a natural dividing boundary somehow? No natural. And then my second question, I had a good time over here because I saw a new city that I haven't seen before, Idiotville.
Where's that? In my district?
It's in your district.
I've never heard of that.
Actually, no. It's in Widener's district. That was a great laugh. But where would be the natural dividing? So if I understood correctly, you said keep Tillamook and Astoria.
I thought it was in Hillsborough.
Tillamook and Clatsop.
And Clatsop.
Counties.
Then you keep on going further south. There's Newport. Where is the natural line? The county line is the county line
because Neskowin, then you go up over the head. And traditionally, that Neskowin was, or before my district was drawn the way it was, Meskwin was in that District 10, District 10 now, but Terry Thompson was the rep there, and he hardly ever came over the hill to Meskwin, because it's quite the slip up the hill, and especially in the winter, it's pretty icy. And it's Meskwin, it's a small community, and they're very much tied to the rest of South County Tillamook.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Richard, it looks like, Harrisay, and Don Otterman, please. And we're calling people in order that they signed in. We made an exception for the representatives out of courtesy. They probably need to get back and do work. So which one of you would like to begin?
Thank you, sir. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Don Otterman. I'm the city manager for the city of North Plains. North Plains is located on the north side of Washington County, directly north of Hillsborough. Excuse me. Our city council is in favor of option two of both the House proposal and the Senate proposal as they treat the area around North Plains. We identify with the Tualatin Valley. We work with cities in western Washington County in economic development planning, in transportation planning. We share a school district with the city of Hillsborough. We just have for years identified with the Tualatin Valley. Option one would put the city of North Plains in a district that would include Columbia County, Clatsop County, and we're separated from Columbia and Clatsop County by the Tualatin Mountains. There is no transportation link between North Plains and that the area, the Scappoose, St. Helens area, other than Cornelius Pass Road, which is several miles to the east and out of the way for the city residents of North Plains. I think from the perspective of the areas of common interest is the area that that I want to stress is that we have been working very, very closely with Hillsborough, with Forest Grove, with Cornelius, and with Banks. We have a sub-regional economic development plan effort being put together. We have transportation planning efforts being put together. And separating us and having representation that would go all the way over the Tualatin Mountains and would just completely isolate the city of North Plains. So for those reasons, I have provided a little more in-depth written communication, but for those reasons, our city council has asked me to come tonight to testify that they are in favor of options two of both the Senate districting plan and the House districting plan. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
My name is Richard Harrisay. I'm a convener of the Campaign Committee for Marion County Democrats and a bunch of other things. My main concern today is basically to establish our opposition to option two. And one of the main reasons for that is what it does in the Portland area and failing to recognize the river as a natural boundary and crossing across the river to pick up people. That is a simple thing, and it's about all that I have to object to in that area. It is not part of our county. It is not part of my particular jurisdiction, but it is something that concerns me as a Democrat. It also concerns me that option two exhibits probably the worst gerrymandering I've ever seen, although my experience is not extremely broad, in terms of CD 5, Congressional District 5. And, you know, it cuts us off from our Indian gaming casinos, and which are a major source of funding for us, especially, well, I won't give you the number at the roulette table, but it has been good to us. That was meant to be humor. But it is. It's a major, major change to that district, and will have serious problems for us in the coming election. And therefore, I'm against it. The whole party's against it. Thank you.
Questions for these two? Representative Lindsay?
Thank you. Just for a brief clarification, Mr. Harris, thank you for your testimony today. The proposed Congressional Map 1, mm-hmm. Congressional District 2, stretches across the river as well up to Scappoose. Does that concern you as well as crossing the river? Because it crosses the river as well. Is that a concern to you as well?
Yes. In the past, and currently it's recognized as a natural barrier. And you know, is part of the districting strategy.
Thank you.
Questions? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. And so the Willamette River in downtown Portland is seen as a barrier. How about here in Salem?
Well, it's a natural and a political barrier in Salem because it separates West Salem from, or Polk County from Marion County.
Follow up if I may.
Go ahead.
So the current district plan that we have today, before this one, mm-hmm. Would you say that is not appropriate because it has a district that actually crosses the river in Salem?
No, I like that one.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have John Huddle and Rebecca Roth, please. And as you're coming forward, is there another sign-in sheet over on the table? For those of you who have just come into the room, if you're planning to testify, there's a sign-up sheet over on the table. If you'll sign in, we'll have your name so we know you want to give testimony.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Chair and co-chairs and committee members. I'm sure this has been an easy task. When I looked at the maps, my first comment was, I'm John Huddle, I'm from
yes.
Lapine.
Thank you.
My first thought was, oh no, Lapine is lost in a sea of voters. So I would be on the record as opposed to either option, and for the following reasons. When I look at common geographic barriers, you know, and those restrictions under the Constitution, option two doesn't fit because I find myself in District 55, which stretches from Prineville to Medford. And if anybody has driven the mountains in the winter, passes are a natural barrier. When I look at communities of interest, I'm opposed to both options because both options really do not look at small communities and rural lifestyle. Most of the communities in central Oregon that are not part of the more major cities, such as Bend, Redmond, Prineville, and stretching down to Klamath Falls, are small communities. They're small communities that struggle with the distance of driving to shopping, to medical care, to jobs. They struggle for poor jobs. They all have commonalities of interest in those types of issues and in their lifestyle that they choose. For instance, where I live, it's most acreages are an acre. Some are smaller, some are larger, but there's a commonality of that type of lifestyle. People are having horses, you know, they want the neighbors a little further apart. And so Lapine fits with the community of Sun River, south of the resort. We've actually found commonality of interest with the Sun River Resort when we deal with land use issues. The area around Sisters, and Sisters itself is a similar size and similar type of community. You look at Terrebonne and Crooked River Ranch. I've talked to folks in Terrebonne, and the issues with things like transportation, ODOT, and those are almost identical to Lapine. So for those reasons, I see a commonality of interest with those. When you look at Lapine versus Prineville, for instance, there's quite a lot of pushback from Lapine because we lost Facebook to Prineville. Prineville has a much more organized and larger community that aggressively sought that enterprise. When I look at transportation, option two doesn't work because option two puts town hall meetings and meeting with communities of interest across geographic barriers. When I looked at what might work, knowing that you all could take what I have and just make it, it'd be perfect. If you look from Terrebonne and up at the north end of Deschutes County, you go around Redmond Bend, the more rural areas, the small communities, you tie that into the North Klamath County and Lake County and East Klamath County, you come up with about the right population.
Mr. Huddle, I'm sorry, your time's okay. Run out. I know you did give us written testimony,
right.
And we appreciate it.
Okay.
Do you want to go ahead?
My name is am I close enough?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
My name is Rebecca Roth, and I'm from Marion County, and co-chairs?
Right.
I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm here because I'm concerned about the apparent willingness to draw Republican representatives out of their district. It happened last time, and that the lines were drawn, and it appears that there's a plan that would do that again. And I'm concerned that there's willingness to do things that are not agreeable to Republicans, and I would like to appeal to you to work together and not call for bipartisanship and then not give bipartisanship. And I want to say that one of my big concerns is that it appears that Portland has been divided up in such a way that there's a lot of power given to the Democrat Party. I know we're not supposed to mention Democrat and Republican, but I don't know how to get away with it because it appears that a lot of the part of Oregon, 85% of it, has very little representation because we hardly ever win anything, any elections or battles. So I'm here to say we need to have a fighting chance in Oregon when we have an election to have there be some equality in the way things are drawn. I would really like to not see this get thrown to the Secretary of State. I'm really desirous to see everybody work together and come up with a plan that is agreeable to both parties so that we don't have to have one person do it like happened last time. And since I'm new in politics, I don't know everything I should say, but I just am not very happy with what I see having been happening in Oregon.
Thank you for your testimony, and we do have written testimony from both of you, which will be on the record. And Senator Brzezinski.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Roth, you made a statement at the very beginning of your testimony that you thought one of the plans was actually writing or drawing people out of their current districts. Could you tell us which plan you think it is?
Well, I am not real up on all of the plans and everything. I just got piece of information that said that I didn't even know that there were two plans that have been, when it said one and two, I didn't know there were. But it appeared to me from the information I was given that there's a representative being drawn out of his district, and you're going to have to go to somebody who knows more details because I don't know them. I'm just a citizen out there getting information from you guys. So,
can I follow up?
Sure, go ahead.
And do you remember
this is going to be a chance for the Democrats and Republicans to talk together. I that's what I want.
Yeah, Ms. Roth, do you have a know who actually where you got that information? Because that's not the intent of this committee, and we're actually charged not to be doing that. So I was just wondering if you got that where you got that information, because it sounds like some misinformation that you received.
Oh well, I'm going to have to go find out where it came from, because. Prozansky?
Yes.
I'll get back with your office about it, because I can't tell you right now. I don't know.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Any other questions for these two? Other questions? Thank you very much for coming and testifying. Next we have Bill Chin and Jenny Nijin, please. Nijin. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Jenny Nguyen, and I'm here on behalf of the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, also known as APANO. And we just want to come here to educate and increase awareness about the Asian Pacific American community in Oregon and our reactions to both plans 1 and 2. First, I want to give some background about the API community in Oregon. And then Professor Bill Chin will give you more information on some of our objections or objections to the plans. First, I want to point out that the API community is the, since 2000, we've grown 40% in Oregon. Additionally, we're also the second fastest growing racial group in Oregon. We compose of 50 diverse ethnic groups. And we've been here for generations. We're contributing positively to Oregon's communities. And although we're very diverse, we have a lot of common interests, and then we hope to continue to contribute positively to Oregon's, Oregon's communities.
Bill? Bill Chin with APANO also. APANO thanks the members here for working on this project. APANO feels that there could be some improvements, and I'll try to be specific here, although recognizing everyone should recognize that APANO is volunteer, a bunch of volunteers. We don't have a lot of money or map experts. But APANO is focusing specifically on these districts, House Districts 33, 34, 39, 46, 47, 48, and 42, where APANO feels there could be more effective line drawing to bring out representation of the Asian Pacific American population in those districts. For example, in 46, 47, and 48, those districts comprise the or is part of the Lance neighborhood. In that area, there's a high concentration of Asian Pacific Americans there. And so one thought is for the committee members to take a look at that area, House Districts 46, 47, 48, within the Lance District to see if the lines drawn there could better reflect the API Asian Pacific Islander population. For example, in 48, the current API population is 13.51. Under Plan 1, it goes to 14.0, which is a minor improvement. But APANO feels that with certain lines being drawn more effectively to retain the APIs as a community of interest, that 14.0 percentage could go even higher. Again, we're not just talking about numbers, but to use those numbers to more effectively represent APIs in that area.
All right.
And just briefly, also, House Districts 33 and 34, those are on the western side of Portland, across the river. Those two are next to each other. Perhaps lines there, when drawn, could more effectively be drawn to create a higher concentration, or not higher concentration, but better representation for APIs in those two districts, where there's also a significant API Asian Pacific Islander community in that area. Thank you very much, committee members.
Thank you for your testimony, and I know that because that's the district I represent. Did you happen to do the same sort of calculation in terms of percentage in the other districts, or just you did that for 48?
for...
You can do that as well, but I was just wondering if you had that at your...
Right now, I just did it for 48. We don't... Aponte doesn't have block-level details right now because we just don't have the map technology, right. The map experts, as others have. And last night, we were eyeballing many things, right? Map here, map there, census data here. So this is the level of specificity that we're able to give you at this point.
Thank you, Professor. We'll take a look at that. Representative Lindsay?
Thank you. Thank you for being here. You've been very helpful, and you've been past my office as well, so thank you. I'm looking at House District 48 in both Option 1 and Option 2, and both of them appear to stretch on the northern boundary as north as Stark Street or Division Street. And then they both go all the way down to include most of Happy Valley. I'm wondering, are Asian Pacific Islanders more on the northern part of that, closer to the Stark Division Street, or are they spread throughout Happy Valley and come down into the rural areas?
Representative Lindsay, I don't have the maps in front of me. I'm sorry. We were trying to create those maps last night in preparation for this meeting, and
That's fine.
I don't have those maps. I can't answer your question at this time. I think the data is out there, but I don't know it personally, unless someone else here knows.
We're continuing to work on the census block group maps, and so as we produce more maps, we'll be sending them to your office.
Okay.
And I see people pointing to this map here, but it doesn't get us to that level of specificity that I think you're asking for,
yeah.
Which we're trying to build up. So we're trying to get the data to build up the details that you have questions on.
Right, and we will be taking a look at
just as a follow-up, this is my concern, is that the statute says that we're not supposed to dilute minority voters, and we don't want to do it unintentionally. And so any of the maps that you prepare, that would be very helpful to help us. I don't know if we can visualize on the map somehow where Asian Pacific Islanders are. I think that would be very helpful.
Your point is well taken, and we're trying to get that map data as soon as possible.
Right, we just received the GIS shape files this morning. They're only available this morning, so we'll be putting out more maps soon.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions for these two? Any more? Thank you very much for your testimony. It's been very helpful. Sal Peralta and Al LeMay, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
If you'll start out by whoever wants to go first saying your name.
Go ahead. Oh, my name's Al LeMay. First of all, good evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our statements today. I kind of prepared my statement, so hopefully it'll go quickly. Recently, with the new census data being released, the process of redistricting began in Oregon. With many communities that have drastic changes since the last time this was undertaken by Oregon State Legislature in 2000. And that process was confrontational and left many Oregonians with bad memories. I would like to speak about the recent maps that were released by the Democratic Party, or Option 1. It appears that the party has decided to once again make this topic confrontational and break up communities all around Oregon. The redistricting process was undertaken by both parties with the understanding that both plans would be practical and assurances that negotiations about the differences would be minimal. Reviewing the information distributed by the Democratic Party, it appears that the negotiation will not be possible and effectively ensure that the redistricting process will be going to the Secretary of State, Kate Brown. While I find this reprehensible by the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Democrat Senate and House members, I am truly concerned for what it has done to Yamhill County in particular and to our state and House representatives. Or Senate and House representatives. It appears that the Democratic Party is trying to dissolve Republican districts in favor of Democrat districts. None of the proposed new House districts under the Democratic Party's plan adhere to all the provisions of the ORS statutes outlining being continuous, common interests, and those items. The Democratic Party plan's own words show the extent of what truly matters in common interests of the party and not the citizens of the communities being carved up. I quote, Legislative Plan 1 primarily uses cities, counties, urban growth boundaries, and school districts as political boundaries. Legislative Plan 1 avoids dividing such cities, those having populations under 63,000, into more than one House district. Both of these statements taken directly from the map summary published on May 11, 2011 by Senator Susan Bonamici, is that correct?
Close enough.
Bonamici, okay. And Representative Chris Garrett are blatantly false. Placing portions of Yamhill County in House districts that have urban centers included does not meet with the quotes I just mentioned above. One of the smaller school districts, Yamhill-Carlton, will be divided into two House districts and leave residents of small towns that it serves wondering what happened to, quote, not dividing communities of common interest. Furthermore, Yamhill County's farming community began long before the wine industry came into Oregon. While Yamhill County is proud of the diverse farming industry, which includes vineyards, the issues facing the segments of our population are not served by splitting the farming industry so that vintners are set against hazelnut farmers within our county. This only serves to create tension and strife within the historical community of Oregon.
Mr. LeMay, we're giving everybody the same amount of time, so if you want to wrap it up, that'd be great.
Okay. What I'd like to do then is also I feel that the maps being furnished by the Democratic Party are no more than a payback for the last election cycle where a majority of seats in the House were lost, causing a split. Worse than that, certain representatives were unfairly singled out for, quote, elimination because of their inability to get the preferred candidates into office. The tactic is so transparent that it can be seen by all who simply read through the entire plan. I'm asking that the Democratic Party and its membership look within for leadership in creating representative districts that work for all Oregonians, not just those in urban areas seeking new tax bases to plunder. The divide the Democratic Party has created by publishing this plan is so vast that I do not believe bipartisanship can even be discussed until the maps are tossed out and the Democratic Party starts anew. Thank you.
Madam Chair, distinguished representatives, for the record, my name is Sal Peralta. I'm Secretary of the Independent Party of Oregon, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of that organization. My written testimony offers a fairly detailed analysis of several of these districts. Per your instructions, Madam Chair, I'm not going to go into that analysis. Instead, I'd like to just share some concerns that I have about the process. About a week ago, each party released its plans to the public, and for the past week or so, I feel like we've seen a battle of competing press releases, surrogates for each of the parties out telling folks on in their camp to criticize the other side, lobbing grenades at one another in emails and on the blogs to attack the other side's plan. And I have to say, I suspect that if that's the way that the process continues, that this legislature won't be able to discharge its constitutionally mandated obligation of drawing these district boundaries, and it will go to the Secretary of State. I'd like to offer an alternative way forward by encouraging the leadership of both sides to get yourselves and your staffers in a single room rather than creating these plans in silos and take as long as it takes to build a consensus plan. That's, I think, I know it's what our membership would like to see, and I think it's what the people in the state of Oregon would like to see also from this body. The adoption of a fair and impartial redistricting plan, one that increases competition, is a high priority for the Independent Party of Oregon. It's something that the people of this state want, and it's something that I think we have a right to expect from this committee. I appreciate how difficult this process is. I've spent a fair amount of time with the mapping software, and it is a real challenge. But it's a challenge that would be better served if we didn't have these two separate silos. that if we had folks coming together and working collaboratively, because what I've seen in the press in the last week is not healthy. With regard to specific recommendations, I would hope that the committee will create a final plan that increases rather than decreases the total number of competitive districts. Both plans decrease the number of competitive districts. I would hope that the committee will work to establish reasonable and fair accommodations with regard to House Districts 39, 40, 51, and Senate Districts 20 and 26. I think that the Plan 1 seemed to heavily favor the Democratic side. With regard to House Districts 8 and 32 and Senate Districts 6 and 21, I would hope that the committee look more favorably on the Democratic plan than the Republican plan, as it tended, the Democratic plan didn't draw legislators out of certain districts by just carving tiny little pieces out of one district or the other.
Sal, your time's up, and I know you submitted written testimony, but we have an opportunity for questions, so you'll probably both get an opportunity to say a few more things. Questions? Any questions?
Actually, Madam Chair, I'll just make a quick comment to Sal. It's been an interesting week since the maps were released. I guess my comment to you would be the flip side of the coin is that we could easily have just decided we're going to lock ourselves up and work this out. But, you know, every day in this building we get criticized for doing business outside of the public spotlight. And we made a deliberate decision that before trying to reach an agreement among ourselves, we're going to try and air these out for public scrutiny. And it's a messy thing to do. But, you know, we're going to proceed to take public reaction. We met today in what I would say was a very good meeting about how we're going to go forward. So it's been messy, but I'm not sure there was a better way to do it.
If I may respond, Madam Chair. Representative Garrett, I appreciate that. And as I've said, I am under no illusions about how difficult this process is and how inherently political the process is. So I'm not meaning to demean anybody's efforts. But irrespective of the work that you have tried to do collaboratively, there is also work that has happened in public that is not just accepting testimony and this type of process, but rather the press releases encouraging people to turn out their folks to this hearing to criticize the other side's plan. I know that nobody in this committee, I believe, sent out such press releases or volunteer calls to action. But those kinds of things, really, don't they make the process more difficult? I mean, doesn't that make it somewhat more challenging to turn out the partisans on your side or one side or the other? Anyhow, that's just my perception. I'm an outsider to this process. I do appreciate the work that you're doing, and thank you all for your service.
Well, thank you for your testimony. I just want to respond to that. Certainly, we don't have any control over who puts out press releases or what they say or who tries to get people in to testify. I mean, we welcome input. And so if anybody out there wants to put out a press release and say, come and look at these proposals, we welcome that. And that's one of the reasons for having these hearings, as Representative Garrett said. We put these ideas out. We knew there were differences between them, and we wanted to see what the input would be. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that people are coming or trying to get people here to come and testify. This is we wanted to make this a public process as much as we could. So.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Thank you for your testimony. That's actually all we have signed up. Is there anyone else who's here who would like to testify? Jane? Come on up. You're going to have to say your name, even though we all know who you are.
It's all right. Jean, Netboy. I have watched this process since the Clay Myers days when single-member districts first went in, and I want to compliment this committee. This committee has made a brilliant effort. They made trips around the state to get people who could not afford to come to Salem. They're having this tonight. They're having two more. You're to be complimented on your concerns, working together. I was here in 2001, and it was two separate committees. The Democrats in the House walked out for 5 days, and it ended up going to Bill Bradbury. There was no computer software at that time, and it was a headache that you could not begin to believe.
Thank you, Jane. Does anybody want to ask any questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cameron.
Jane, would you send in a formal testimony so I can put that in my performance review?
I would be more than delighted to send every one of you a letter, because I am dead serious. I've watched this when it was sub-districts, the first single-member districts in 72, and you're to be complimented.
Thank you. We know you've seen a lot. You probably have more experience than some of us up here. So I wanted to read some of the, for the record, some of the testimony that has been received, just so that we're sure that it's on the record. And this is in the month of May. David Blomendahl, John Brennan, Mike Courtney, Gary Dunphy, and Gordon Fittish, Larry Hammond, Andrew Holtz, Bob McFadden, Dale and Elaine McFarlane, Stephen Oder, Dr. Huma Pierce, John Silver, Liz Toy, Bill Whitaker, Earl Wickland. Those are all comments that were received, written testimony that's in the record. Also from May, we have... would you mind checking to see if it's a double? We also have in April testimony from Robert Waterhouse, Doreen Stenson, Sandy Webb, Christopher Epley, Eric Farm, Gretchen Randolph, Jody Barron. And we're just double checking because I had a duplicate list to make sure we didn't leave anyone out. This is the same as this, I believe.
Yeah, thanks.
So I believe we've noted all of those. People have submitted testimony, and just in closing, we have two more hearings. We have one Friday the 20th from 10 to 12, and then we have another one on the 24th, again from 5 to 7. So if you would like to come back, feel free. If you would like to submit testimony, additional testimony, there's a link on the website, and you can submit your testimony there. It will all be entered into the record and considered. So thank you again for coming. Anyone else? Last call? Nope. I close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.
I close the House.